Today, I'm proclaiming the gospel to you, Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word to us, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may follow our glorious Lord on his path to the cross and to the resurrection. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I'll start with two verses from the gospel reading. One from the start and one from almost the end. Here's the verse from the start. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up the mountain to pray. 8 days after these sayings, literally after these words. Well, after what sayings? After what words? What has Jesus just been talking with his disciples about? Well, we're going to come back to this. Now listen to the verse from near the end of the reading. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." The voice of the Father instructs the disciples to listen to the Son. But again, what has the Son been saying to the disciples? And what does he say to us here at Bethlehem today? Well, in this sermon, I'll go back to the words that Jesus said to his disciples before he was transfigured in glory before Peter, James, and John. Then I'll draw your attention to how Jesus speaks to us today as we gather here at Bethlehem. I'll proclaim the good news that as we listen to Jesus, the Father fills us with the Holy Spirit so that we may follow our Lord on the path to discipleship so that we may be saved. But just a brief comment before I get into it. Every year, we hear the account of the Transfiguration from the Gospels of Matthew or Mark or Luke. And all these accounts follow the same pattern and fall into the same context in the narrative flow of the Gospels, although there are important variations in the details. So every year we hear the account of the Transfiguration, and we hear this on the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, that is, on the Sunday before the beginning of Lent. In other words, the church, based on the scriptures and as we arrange the church year, sees that there is a connection between Christ as he is revealed in glory and Christ as he takes his path to the cross. We understand, as disciples of Christ, that his glory and his cross belong together. So you could say that the account of the Transfiguration helps us to prepare for our Lenten journey, where we, as a Christian community, recognize that a key part of discipleship is denying ourselves, daily taking up our cross and following Jesus. Now again, in today's reading, the Father tells us to listen to his chosen Son. And we know that Jesus has been giving words to his disciples. We're about to hear them. But first of all, what do we think Jesus has been saying to his disciples? If the Father tells the disciples to listen to Jesus, then we might think that the Father's saying he's going to give you commands. Make sure you listen to these commands and obey them. That's the main thing. Now, indeed, Jesus does give commands. And as disciples, we are called to keep, to observe everything that Jesus has commanded us. But listen to how Jesus speaks to his disciples before he's revealed in glory. I don't think any of us could have guessed this is what it's saying. Once when Jesus was praying alone, with only the disciples near him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets has arisen." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Messiah of God." So in the context of the Transfiguration, the first words that Jesus has been saying to his disciples, they were called to listen to, are questions. The question of what the crowds think about who Jesus is, and then the personal question, "Who do you say that I am?" Now, say this in a different way. From the scriptures, we know that the Father wants us to listen to Jesus, and this means listening to Jesus ask us who we say that he is. The question Jesus asks is about his identity. Now, on the one hand, this is a very personal question addressed to each one of us, to each one of us in our hearts before God. Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" It's like this. Jesus says, "Linley, who do you say that I am? David, who do you say that I am? James, who do you say that I am?" I could say each one of your names here today. This is the question that Jesus asks us. The Father says, "Listen to him." When he asks this question, listen to the Lord Jesus. Now, as individuals, we listen to Jesus and we know in our hearts who he is, and something indeed does move us as God's people. Again, there is something private about this, something personal and something individual, and it is for each one of us a path of growth as we work out on the path of discipleship what our confession means. But the question of Jesus' identity is also one that we answer together as a congregation. We here at Bethlehem, week by week, as a congregation together, confess our faith in Jesus and thereby our faith in the triune God. As week by week, we together proclaim the creeds of the church, especially regularly the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. And you could say that we do this in an especially significant way when we have baptisms, as we will at the 11 o'clock service today, as people are adopted as sons, as daughters of God. Our confession of faith is the result of the question that Jesus asks us. And our Father says, "Listen to him." When he asks that question, listen. Now, after Jesus asks the question of his disciples, he does give a command, but a strange command that is connected to his description of what it means for him to be the Messiah. Listen. Jesus sternly ordered and commanded his disciples not to tell anyone. We can't get into this too much today, but they don't yet know what their confession means. Don't say yet what your confession means. You'll get it wrong, I think, is what's going on here. He ordered and commanded his disciples not to tell anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Jesus here begins to unpack for his disciples what it means for him to be the Messiah, the anointed one of God, on his path to Jerusalem. He's not going there to Jerusalem to kick the Romans out or to set up a new worldly kingdom. Rather, he is going into his suffering, into his death, and into his resurrection. He is indeed going on the path of glory, but the path of glory is the path of suffering and the cross before it is the path of the resurrection. This is what Jesus goes on to tell his disciples, that following him to glory means following him on the path to the cross. Because listen to how he goes on. Then Jesus said to them all, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." Jesus here gives us teaching as disciples that we need to hear. If we hold on to our own lives, to our self-constructed identities, to our own version of glory, we will lose our lives. Now let's today think of one significant instance of this sort of thing, an example of holding on that is spiritually dangerous and not letting go. Let's suppose that we are sinned against, that we really are the victims of someone's ill will towards us, just as Jesus was. It can become very easy for us to hang on to our victim status and to let it define who we are. We can even take a perverse sense of joy in thinking how much better we are than those who have sinned against us, and how we'll take our revenge on them, if not in our actions or words, then in our thoughts. Jesus gives us a warning. If we hold on like this, we'll lose our lives. We'll lose our lives here, now, in this life. We'll lose who we are and in the life to come. It's in letting go of things like bitterness and resentment and pride, and doing this day by day, that we take up our cross and follow Christ. Where we get the power and the strength to do this is something I'll come back to at the end of the sermon. Jesus makes his point about self-denial and taking up the cross more strongly as he goes on. He says, "What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves?" Even if we get everything we hope for in this world by hanging on tightly to our own lives, what's the real gain for our souls, for our true identity, for who we are? Our true identity can be found ultimately only in Christ Jesus, who now in the reading brings us back to the question of who he is. He says, "Those who are ashamed of me and of my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." The human community is not the only community that counts. There is the glorious and lasting community of the Lord and of the holy angels, and it's confessing Christ before the world that we show where we truly belong, as human beings made in the image of God, redeemed in Christ Jesus, and given the Spirit for holiness of life. Jesus then ends with these words, "But truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." Okay, so these are the sayings or the words that Jesus said to his disciples before the transfiguration. Go and have a look in your gospel. He asks who he is. He talks about his own suffering, death, and resurrection. Then he gives the teaching about taking up the cross. Those are the words that Jesus spoke. He said that some would see the kingdom of God before they taste death, and it's 8 days after that Jesus takes with him Peter, John, and James, and is transfigured before them in glory. Well, today we've listened to the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. We've listened to Jesus just as the Father commanded. But we know that Jesus also speaks his word to us as we gather liturgically, as we gather Sunday by Sunday, so we know that he speaks his word of forgiveness to us. Many times in this church, in this church's liturgy, you have heard the forgiveness of sins proclaimed to you in Jesus' name. It is your pastor who says these words, but it is not Fraser Pierce who forgives your sins. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is he who gives authority to the church to forgive sins. And pastors can only stand in his stead and speak by his authority. But your Lord Jesus Christ does say that your sins are forgiven. Listen to the Lord Jesus. Listen to the word of forgiveness that he speaks to you. Your sins are forgiven. Do you want power from the Holy Spirit to be free from resentment, from pride, from anger, from these things which cripple us and take us towards death? The Lord Jesus is not dead. He is alive and speaks his word of forgiveness to you. Listen to him. This happens also when we have baptisms in our church, when people are baptized, adopted into the Heavenly Father, baptized into Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and with water, they are washed clean and made holy. Let's listen to our Lord. If he says that we are brothers and sisters, then this is who we are. Where is our strength of holiness of life going to come from except from the Lord Jesus Christ and his Spirit-filled word? Brothers and sisters, listen to him. When next week you come to the Lord's Supper, listen to your Lord. He will say to you, "This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins." This luminously shows us where our hope comes from. Not in ourselves or what we can do for God, but in what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And so we eat and drink, listening to the Lord Jesus and trusting in his word. It is our Heavenly Father who said when his Son was revealed in glory in his transfiguration, "This is my Son, the chosen one. Listen to him." Well, may God give us open ears and open hearts so that in privacy, on our own as individuals, we hear the question that our Lord asks and we confess the faith. May God also do this as we gather together as a community Sunday by Sunday, so we recognize that our Lord Jesus is with us, that he speaks his word, so that we may live the life that gives glory to the Father as we love one another, especially as we forgive each other from the heart. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.